Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My pleasure. It's like a dream come true for me, and I know it's almost like that for you, too. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you for that, especially. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg is our guest and our good friend, a longtime original member of our Brain Trust. We're actually working, I think, on 9 years now. We're actually past nine. I think we're in our 10th year now with Ellen being a member of our Brain Trust. She's a family psychologist specializing in consulting with family businesses. She is one of the world's experts on family-owned businesses. She is the author of Your Family, Inc. Many of you have seen her column in various publications around the country, and she's our good friend. Ellen, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
Ellen, give us a little bit of... You always just do such a good job of helping us get ready for the holiday season and for whatever's left of the holiday season as we deal with our families. You know, the dynamics of a family business, all the different family members in the business, and we've got all the tension and maybe the challenges and the opportunities, and maybe everybody's not getting along perfectly at work, but then we got to go carve a turkey or a ham or break bread somehow with them, you know, in the next day or maybe even that day. How do we give us a little bit of a few thoughts on how to disconnect one from the other?
Well, I think disconnect is a great word, Jim. I think it's important to keep the business within the business circle and keep the family within the family circle. A lot of families reach agreements that they're not going to talk business when they have family gatherings. They're going to leave that aside because, you know, businesses can be bought and sold. They can come and go, but you hope at the end of the day or at the end of the year that the family is still together. And doing things that are fun as a family, I think, is critical, even because so much of the family business focus is on work. But to still create times when families can come together without talking about the business, without focusing on the business, and doing something just to maintain the relationships and to have fun together. I think that's critical.
It takes not only recognizing that you need to disconnect and you need to, but it takes a little bit of a discipline, doesn't it? I mean, this is something you have to think about. And the reason I know that, Ellen, is because of the way I am about my business. It's my business, and the seam between my business and my personal life is a very fine seam.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I wander over that seam sometimes, you know, a little bit. And and it is my nature to do that. I love my business very much, and I'm engrossed in it, you know. I mean, I live it, eat it, and breathe it. Mm-hmm. And I have a family business. I have a family member who works with me in my business. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have to really bite my tongue so I don't bring business up at the wrong time. And Ellen, I got a confession to make. Sometimes I'm not successful.
Right. Well, welcome to the human race, you know.
You know the problem with humanity, don't you, Ellen? You know what the problem with humanity is?
I'm basically in favor of it.
The human. It's the humans.
It's the humans.
Yeah, that's the problem with humanity.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I do, and I try really hard, and my family member has no idea how much I bite my tongue, and don't do anything like that. Don't say anything that I'd like to say. But it's really hard to know what to do, and I have that challenge every day, not just Thanksgiving and Christmas and that sort of thing.
Well, I think it's also important to create a time or a place when the family can come together and talk about the business. You know, we call it a family forum. Now, sometimes, you know, there's a, you know, an aunt or an uncle or a grandchild who will be profoundly affected by what happens in the business. And they might have questions, or they might have some, they might think there's more money in the business than there is, or they might be worried that it's not going to survive.
Right.
And so you need to create another time when the family can come together and talk about the issues in the business that may impact family members. And we call that a family forum, and that's the other way to give family a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So they can participate in a legitimate way.
And get the facts.
Right, get the facts without taking pot shots. You know?
Shine some light on this issue.
Yeah.
Some sunlight on this issue, so nobody's misunderstood. Good
right.
suggestions, Ellen. And when we come back, folks, one of the things Ellen's going to talk to us about is a really excellent way to bring the family together and work in a very productive and efficient and healthy way. And she's going to do that right after these messages. You don't want to miss this. 20 Tales, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And it's there for you. It's free. Use it to your advantage. No barrier to entry. Whatever you can find there, I think if you look around based on the topic that you're interested in, the subject that's got your attention right now, you'll find an article or an archive or maybe many of those on your topic. So you can search for whatever you need. You can search by the individual item, or you can search inside of a category. We've got over 500 Brain Trust members, like our good friend Dr. Ellen Frankenberg, who's here with us right now. She's the author of Your Family, Inc. Ellen, tell us where your book's available, please.
I think it would be available at Amazon.com, but also through my website, which is www.frankenberg.com.
All right.
And if someone is interested, I'm also going to give you my phone number, which is 513-729-1511.
Ellen, one of the things that you, and I know you want to talk to us about today, was the way philanthropy plays an important role in bringing family businesses, the members of family businesses together.
Right. I worked with a family in Iowa a little while back, a development company. They were very successful at building college dorms. And after a while, the dad had a succession problem because both of their children, a wonderful son and daughter, determined they wanted to go to medical school. And so he had a succession problem. And so we came together, and what we decided to do what they decided to do was to focus on building a foundation that would deal with healthcare issues, because that was a way that both of their children would maintain, even though they were going to have busy adult lives, they would maintain a common goal within the family.
Mm-hmm.
They would come together once or twice a year and work on determining how much or what kinds of projects they would want to fund through their foundation that were related to healthcare. So it became a way for that family to maintain cohesion, to stick together, to have a common purpose.
A common purpose that wasn't about them.
Right.
That's
right.
The big deal, isn't it?
And they, the dad had a great management team, and so he decided to gradually sell the business to the employees, but it would continue to generate quite a bit of income for some time to come. And they were delighted because it brought the family together around something that was a priority to them, and it gave them a wonderful way to use the I think families have to decide how much is enough. What do they need financially, however the family defines that? And then what do they want to do with whatever they determine is more than enough for their future financial stability? Now,
isn't it amazing, Ellen, how many good things happen, how many quality things happen when people subordinate themselves to other things.
When they have a common goal, or the family, all families have a mission, I think. They have a purpose. They just don't always talk about it.
Well, it's only about them. It's always focused on them. Me, me, me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think that's where the toxic stuff happens, doesn't it?
I think so. And the other thing is about philanthropy. Every business gets hundreds of requests, especially at this time of year, to give to the needy or to a school or a project of some kind in the community. And sometimes the members of the family who are not employed day-to-day in the business can take that over, can start to manage all those requests, which relieves the people that are running the business. And in a family forum, again, if the family comes together, and maybe there is a member of the family that suffers from Alzheimer's or cancer, or they're a learning disability, maybe they focus on some need that has impacted their family, and they decide, well, our priority in giving our charitable dollars is going to be on this issue that has impacted our family. And they develop a business-like mm-hmm. way to manage their charity. I think that can be a wonderful source of satisfaction for the members of the family, mm-hmm. as well as making a significant contribution to the community that has helped them build their business.
You know, Ellen, I know a business right now that has $1 billion capitalization.
Uh-huh.
It's a publicly traded company with $1 billion of capital, and they've got thousands of employees and tens of thousands of customers. But I'm going to say 15 years ago, maybe more than 15 years ago, when they didn't know if they were going to make it, they literally were having challenges like a lot of startups do, making payroll.
Mm-hmm.
The two founders sat down and said, you know what? We need to find something to give back to. And mm-hmm. and they kind of both looked at each other like, you know, we must be nuts. We need to be giving back to ourselves. But they found a way to carve out of what little they had mm-hmm. to focus on other people. And they said right after that, they really stopped having any kind of financial problems. It was amazing how that attitude, uh-huh. that attitude of giving back to other people, and they've done it continually since then and still to this day. Stand by, Ellen Frankenberg. Quick break, right back with Dr. Ellen Frankenberg. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We got more to come about your family business right after these messages.
Love is strange.
Sylvia, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg is our guest. Ellen, you don't remember that song, do you? Are you there? I said, you don't remember that song, do you? I said, you don't remember that song, do you?
Well, it's familiar somewhere.
Well, you're a lot younger than me. You don't remember those old songs like that, Ellen. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Your Family, Inc. and our family business expert in the Brain Trust. Ellen, what are your last thoughts on helping people survive? Maybe some people are just hoping to survive the holidays. What do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, sometimes people don't work on family relationships all year long. They kind of take them for granted. And then all of a sudden, they want to have all these warm, happy feelings with the family. And it's not going to happen that way. It takes work, I think, every day of the year. A phone call, making an appointment to resolve a problem with a family member.
Slow down. Make an appointment?
Yeah, make an appointment.
How does that work? Tell us how that works.
Sometimes in the middle of a busy business, everybody's tired and there are other employees or bankers or customers standing around. That's not the time to deal with conflict. I think sometimes if a problem is bothering you, I'm in favor of going to a restaurant
Off-site. Get out of the building.
Have a cup of coffee. Most people aren't going to scream and yell in a restaurant, and and you can sit down without the TV or the turn off your cell phones and have a face-to-face conversation and talk about the facts and talk about your feelings.
How about this, Ellen? What if you said to each other, what if the person taking the lead said, John, here's what I want. I want to be happy. And there's one more thing that I want. I want you to be happy. What do we have to do to help make each other happier than we are?
That sounds great.
What do we have to get rid of? What do you have to lose? What do I have to gain? What do I have to lose? What do you have to gain? What do we pick up from each other? What do we get rid of from each other that would make us happy?
Right. I think that's a good place to start. And the conversation, I think, has to be based on the facts. You know, well, you forgot my birthday, or you showed up for the meeting with the prime client an hour late, and I was really counting on you to be there.
Right.
To start with the facts and then name your own feelings. You showed up late, I was counting on you, and I'm really angry that you didn't make it. That's a clean confrontation.
Yeah.
And it gives the other an opportunity to say, well, I was stuck on the highway, my cell phone went dead, I couldn't get a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go on without letting that be a wedge between you or
a festering wedge.
Right, and without letting it fester, because communication, of course, is always the name of the game.
Well, you know, another thing, I don't know if you're like this, Ellen, but I am. There are some things that really bug me.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other things that maybe bug other people, and it bugs everybody else on the planet, but me, and I don't care about those things. And I think if we can find out about each other, what are those two or three things that really push our buttons?
Yeah.
And what is it that we don't mind so much, and try not to push those buttons?
Well, that's why, you know, when I work with families, I bring them together in what we call a family forum, and we create rules for fair fights. We get the whole family to agree on how they're going to manage conflict, because conflict is normal. It's a part of any human relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we work together on sharing concerns and fears and goals for the company so that everybody gets on the same page. And that can be a wonderful thing. One norm that I've discovered through the research of a psychologist named John Gottman, is that any relationship, you want a 5-to-1 ratio. 5 positive interactions for every 1 negative.
Wow.
It doesn't mean that there will never be negatives. There will be. But in the positive, it could be nonverbal, could be a smile, a hug, thanks for bringing home the milk.
Right.
But it's a good checklist for you to look at. Are most of my interactions with my family members, my loved ones, or my business associates, is there that 5-to-1 positive ratio?
You know, Ellen, you got to have 5 hugs a day just for maintenance. You know
that's
that,
right?
Don't you? Hey, Ellen, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always. And we'll see you next time. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Ellen, Dr. Ellen Frankenberg, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.